Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Bring all the tithes, the tenth, into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, said the Lord of hosts, if you will not open for you, or if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until there is no more room to receive it. You know, and I was praying about that, and you know, he's saying, you know, it's not saying that, you know, to give to buy into, you know that the heavenly riches or the true riches of heaven. He's saying, trust me in this. Trust me in this little tenth of what your life is. Just trust me in this little bit, and just watch what I do with it. You know, and that's why we tithe. It's a form of worship to Him, just giving Him just that little bit. And what that'll do is it'll turn your heart to trust Him all the time. And He kind of gave me a little bit of a word, and he said, I want you to be a church. I would think the whole church, but specifically for us here, of first responders, where our first response in every situation is to turn to Him. So, these are the types of little things that he's been doing for me for the past month. So, if you have a tithe, if you already have given it, or you plan on doing it online, if you want to, like when you hold it in your hand, so... I'll pray over the tithe, and then Dave will be sharing with us for today. So, Father, I just thank you that you are a Father of just a heart's desire to be in every aspect of our lives. Lord, we just thank you for blessing us in each way that you do, and that your heart is just really for us to turn our hearts, to be that first response for us to turn to you in every circumstance and situation. So, Father, I just thank you. I ask that you bless the seed, you bless the sower, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. I ask that you anoint Dave with your word today and open our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.
So good morning and welcome. Glad you could all come out and join us this morning. We should continue to lift up those that aren't with us. We thank you again for the presence of each one here, and we just pray that the Lord would bless you today, and we pray His blessings upon those that couldn't be with us this morning. This is the fourth Sunday in Advent. We're not a real liturgical church, so you know, we don't stress that sometimes. It's the last Sunday before Christmas, so it's the last time we'll gather before we actually celebrate the Christmas, the birth of our Lord. And we'll talk a little bit more about Advent later, not too much, but for the past couple weeks, just as a form of review, Matt's been encouraging us as we go along to kind of lean into the Christmas story, to comprehend, to understand, and to believe all that is wrapped up in that, and then also to receive all that's wrapped up in the Christmas miracle. And 2 weeks ago, Matt said he was real excited to share about Christmas. But he said at that point, we weren't going to get to the Jesus part. So we looked at Luke 1, and we looked at Zacharias. And we were encouraged at that, in looking at Zacharias' response and some of the things that happened with that, we were encouraged to be prepared to respond to God encounters, to angelic encounters, and maybe even interruptions in our lives. The supernatural encounters and occurrences, as we walk in the Spirit, the supernatural encounters and occurrences that happen in our lives should become less super and more natural. The more we walk with the Spirit, the more normal it should be to see the things of God, the miracles of God, taking place in our everyday lives. And then last week, Aaron spoke of the prophetic fulfillment of the birth of Christ. And he started with Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, and it says, there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt, but later on he shall make it glorious. by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land will shine, the light will shine on them. And Aaron talked about how it was the regions of Israel that had basically lived in darkness, had kings who didn't follow after the Lord, that it was from those very regions that Christ came forth and the light of Christ shined. And, you know, we're seeing in the world today some of that too, because we're seeing where the light is maybe brighter in some of the countries that have been oppressed, some of the countries where the church has been pressed down and persecuted, places like China and places like North Korea and places like in the Middle East and in Africa. They are undergoing persecution, but the light of Christ shines and the church is growing and flourishing there. And in Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And I think we have that same opportunity in the times we're in. As darkness seems to be all around us, politically it was said we were going to have a long dark winter. And it seems that that's what's happening. It seems that there's a lot of darkness, that we're looking around and there's depression and there's anguish and there's despair and there's disease and there's violence and there's division. That's a lot of darkness, but we have an opportunity as the church to be the light that shines in that darkness. We're called to shine in the darkness of our times and culture. And then finally, last week, we looked at Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, which, by the way, was already in my notes for this week. So, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And Aaron talked a little bit last week about how a lot of people were looking for the Messiah to be somebody who came and caused a political revolution, somebody who would be the military one to take charge and to overthrow the oppressive government that they were under. But Jesus didn't come to conquer the Roman government. Instead, he came to conquer sin and death on the cross. And so that brings us up to date, and we're ready to do the Jesus part of the Christmas story. So we look at Luke 2. It says, "Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census was to be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census to be taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to the register for the census, and each to his own city. Joseph also, who went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him, and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people, for today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement that had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. So there we have the Christmas story. Jesus was born as a son of man and as the son of God. But that's not the end of the message today, and it's also not the end of the story of the coming of Christ. Before his birth, his life and his death, they were all foretold thousands of years before that night in Bethlehem. As I said, this is the fourth Sunday in Advent. And Advent is defined as the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. Advent is a season in the liturgical church year. It's observed in most Christian denominations as the time of expectant waiting and preparation, both for the celebration of the nativity of Christ and the return of Christ at the second coming. And I thought it was appropriate that we sang the song Joy to the World. Because if you really know the words to that song and really know the history to that song, in a lot of old church hymnals, that's not listed with the Christmas hymns. Because it really is a story about the second advent. It's a story about him coming again to reign and to rule. It's not the story of the baby in a manger. It's the story of the returning king. So we heard the Christmas story from Luke 2. But as we fast forward here to December 2020, more than 2,000 years since Jesus was born, Advent is that time of expectantly waiting. But what are we expectantly waiting for? Is it the baby born in a manger? Is it a man in a red suit with a sleigh? Is it gathering with family? Is it about presents and food? What are we waiting for? In John 1:1-5, and then 9-14, it says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Who's that talking about? It's talking about Jesus. He was there in the beginning with God. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a true light which was coming into the world. Enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's what happened that night when Jesus came in Bethlehem. But even before Jesus was born as a baby in a manger, he was. He existed before that time. He was with God in the beginning. In Revelation 1:7-8, it says this. It says, Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The miracle of Christmas is not only that Jesus, the Savior of the world, was born as a baby. That's part of who he was. He was also present at creation and was there to create all things. He was there when God said in Genesis, "Let us make man in our image." We're made in the image of God and of Christ. 2,000 years ago, Jesus suffered and died on the cross. He was the spotless lamb slain for the sins of the world. He was our Redeemer, and he is our Redeemer. Through the resurrection, Jesus now sits at the right hand of God, and he intercedes for us. We're told that in Romans 8:34. It says, "Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, he who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us." So he is our risen Lord. And through his intercession, both physical intercession on the cross and his presence before the Lord God, we have all the promises of God in him. He is our all in all. That's part of who he is. Yet he says in Revelation, a time that is still to come, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Again in Isaiah, which was the prophecy of the coming of the Lord, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. To the increase of his government and peace there will be no end." He's eternal and he's everlasting. His government will continue to increase. And I think most of us with our finite minds have a difficult time really comprehending what eternity is. I know at least I do. Because we tend to look at eternity in a linear fashion. We think of timelines. And so the timeline of Christ as we see it begins in Genesis, the very first, when he was there at creation. And it runs all the way through the Bible. Everything in the Bible, everything in Scripture is about Jesus. It's about revealing who Christ is to the world, all the way through Revelation. But the problem with that linear view is we still see a beginning and an end. We can't see beyond, we can't see to eternity past, and we can't see beyond to eternity future, forever and ever and ever. So we have this problem conceptually with what eternity really is. I can't draw an infinite line. I can only draw a finite line that has a beginning and an end. We don't see eternity the way eternity really is. And I think the best way that maybe we can do that is if we see eternity in a different form of a never-ending line, in the form of a circle. A circle is a line that has no end. You can't tell where it begins or where it ends. Because he is both the Alpha and the Omega. He is both the beginning and the end. As we look at the idea that prophetically Jesus was prophesied that he would be born. And in his life, in his birth, his life, and his death, he fulfilled over 300 prophecies in Scripture. It's probably somewhere around 350 or 360. Some people have different opinions of exactly how many. But what's interesting is that there was a Christian mathematician that did some statistical calculation. And they found that the chance of one person, that any person from any time in history to the present, might have fulfilled 8 prophecies of the Messiah was 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Okay, I'm not real good at math, and I had to really think in my head when I looked at the number, because it's a 1 with 17 zeros behind it. That's 1 in 100 quadrillion. That's the odds that anybody could have fulfilled those 8 prophecies. And they went on to calculate the possibility if they extended it to 48 prophecies. And that was 1 in 10 to the 157th power. And that's a lot of zeros. I don't know what that number would be. But that Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies is a sure indication of two things. First, it is proof that he is the Messiah. And secondly, it's proof and it's evidence that we can count on that biblical prophecy can be trusted and is true. And that's where we're at now, because there's a lot of prophecies that are left to be fulfilled yet. And with the track record of the accuracy, I think we can trust that these two will be fulfilled. So the miracle of Christmas is not only that he came, but it's also that he is to come. And when he comes again, it won't be as that baby. And he won't come again to endure the cross, because he said it is finished. The Advent that we celebrate is the one that we sang about, that he's coming as a conquering king to rule the world. He's coming as a righteous judge. We're not called to know the day of his return. A lot of people try to figure out where we are in that timeline. But it's not that critical that we know. My meditations over the past week or so have been centered in Revelation. And, you know, a lot of times we get carried up with trying to figure out what these visions and these things that John saw, what they all mean, and who might be the beast, and what might be the mark of the beast, and how do we avoid some of the different things that are coming. And it's hard, because you have to realize that John was seeing something 2,000 years ago that still hasn't happened to this day. Imagine how hard it would be for, say, your great-grandparents to describe the technology that exists today. And just think how hard it is. So when he talks about things being like, he's trying to describe in terms of what he understood, things that haven't even come to pass yet. So I think sometimes, rather than trying to get too caught up in trying to interpret these prophecies about his coming, it's more important that we just pay attention to who Jesus is and what he said. And in Matthew 24, it says this: Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to the point to point out the temple and the buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you see all these things? Truly I say to you, not a stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down." And he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and when will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you're not frightened, for those things must take place. But that's not yet the end, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the birth pangs." Those things that he talks about sound a little bit like it could be our time, right? And I don't know. I don't worry so much about where we are in that timeline. But he hasn't come back yet, so we know we're not there yet. But Jesus' most important thing, he says, don't be misled. Don't be misled. And he says then "they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you and will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." And we skip down to verse 29, says, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. But of that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Therefore, be on alert, for you do not know the day that your Lord is coming. But be sure of this: if the head of the household had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you don't think he will. So this year, as we look back at the baby in the manger, may we know the Lord God who was and who is to come. May we also see the Savior on the cross and hear him say, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." May we see and know the ascended Christ who sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, so that we might fulfill what Jesus says in John 14:12-14. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you that the one who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." God's word is reliable and true. If Jesus said that, it's because he means it. Because we will do it because he says, "I will do it." As we look back, may we also look forward to his coming again. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. It doesn't matter who's in charge of this country, because the government of the world, the government of heaven and earth, is on the shoulder of Christ. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government there will be no end." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, precious Holy Spirit, as we look back and remember and celebrate the coming of Christ as our Savior, humbly coming to this world as a baby, may we also fully know, may we know you, Christ, as you are, the one who empowers us and gives us all that we need. May we walk in the fullness of the Lord God who is. Yet may we never forget that you're coming again. May we be ready. May we not be misled or mislead others. May we be the light that shines in the darkness. And may your name be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of your government and your peace, there will be no end. Amen. Amen. Go in who he is and was and is to come, and be light.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking the well right now.
digging a well in the valley of my weeping.